Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do it. Power rank the power rankings. How impressed were the experts, or unimpressed, by the Texans' win over the Dolphins on Sunday? I think you had to be impressed, at the very least, with the defensive effort and the effort on special teams. Two of the three phases, as they like to say, Seth, I think were elite for the Texans on Sunday.
Honestly, the biggest thing that you can really start to bank on when the Texans play at home especially is that, man, quarterbacks who don't typically turn the ball over get real turnover happy versus the Texans. Jared Goff throwing five interceptions after he was on a tear of throwing nothing but touchdowns and hardly any interceptions.
Yep.
You made him cough the ball up five times. Tua doesn't turn the ball over much. Turns the ball over four times in that game. I mean, it was it's been impressive.
And Josh Allen, even when he came in week five, he didn't turn the ball over. But remember, he had two.
Oh, he
that
very easily.
Aziz Alshire had two right in his hands.
Yeah.
Josh Allen had not thrown a single pick going into.
And
that
he completed 30% of his passes.
That's right.
At home, especially, the Texans' defense has been doing a number on quarterbacks.
Why can't they get the number one seed?
That's why I want. Well, I know that's.
Why are you losing to the Jets and the Titans? Why?
You really want to relive why, Sean?
Why? No, I know the answer.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's why I want. I want the Ravens at home. I don't. I know.
Picture.
I asked the question yesterday, would you prefer the Steelers or the Ravens at home? And yes, the Steelers are a more winnable matchup. But for that reason, if I want to go deep into the playoffs, at some point, you're going to have to face the Ravens.
Yeah.
I want the Ravens at home. And if that way I get the Ravens at home is by playing them first, then so be it.
Yeah.
I'm not just trying to get a wild card victory. I've experienced those.
Yes,
I want them to go further. So there, I think the best chance is if you face Lamar. If you face Lamar Jackson at home versus Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, it's just two
curtains.
Completely different scenarios for the way this defense plays.
Agreed. And boy, how are we going to find out, though, if the Texans are capable of beating the Ravens at home? Oh, that's right. They play on Christmas Day. And you can win tickets this hour to that game on Christmas Day. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Giving away tickets this hour, the noon hour, and the 5 o'clock hour. So don't go anywhere. All right, let's power rank the power ranking, Seth. We have four outlets that we adhere to, that we hit for Texans power, for NFL power rankings. In no particular order yet, CBSSports.com, ESPN.com, TheAthletic.com, and Sports Illustrated, SI.com. Number four in the power ranking of the power rankings. And this is a guy who's been pretty bullish on the Texans really over the last couple of years, but he finds himself at the bottom of the heap. That would be Pete Prisco of CBSSports.com. He's got the Texans 14th overall, up one spot from 15th last week.
Yeah.
Here's what he says. They've clinched the AFC South, but the next 3 weeks have to be about getting right for the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's still not like we expected so far for their offense. I would say all accurate.
And I would say, too, that's when it comes to, you know, the debate over whether you rest starters in that Ravens game if it doesn't look like it could benefit you one way or the other. I need this offense on the field versus good competition as much as possible.
Even on 4 days rest.
Because, look, they chose to treat this offensive line in training camp like they were made men. You barely saw the tackles. They weren't playing in the preseason games. That Hall of Fame game, they're not rolling out any of their starters. And then I'm like, why? Why?
They're treated like vets.
Yeah, vets. That's right. And I'm like, okay, well, then treat this like your training camp and get ready for the actual playoffs by figuring some stuff out. I'm with you there. I think Pete's treating this almost like he's in the college playoff committee, where sometimes your rankings are almost kind of like, well, we're going to keep him right here. Maybe I actually feel a little bit higher about him, but we'll find out over the next 3 weeks or the next 2 weeks.
They'll get their chance.
Where we'll,
get their chance. It gets really interesting. The Chiefs game, I'll tell you one prediction that I made before the season that I was way off on. Thanks, Bobby Slowick. Was that if CJ Stroud was able to, if he were able to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on December 21st, and then turn around and beat Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens 4 days later on Christmas Day, that CJ Stroud would be the MVP of the league.
Mm-hmm.
The thought being that if they were capable of doing that, that they probably had maybe a 10-4 or 11-3 record, and that CJ almost by definition would be in the conversation along with those two guys for MVP, and then beating them head to head. Wow. Especially on the road with Mahomes. CJ Stroud could throw for 400 yards against each of those teams. He ain't sniffing the MVP.
Now it's almost like maybe he gets into the Pro Bowl if he has a couple of it. Well, except that the Pro Bowl voting ends after this week's game.
Yeah.
So that'll be it for that.
Yeah. Well, he's a quarterback. There will be like five quarterbacks that bail, and then he'll get in.
Yeah.
And he'll
go. As far as being a named like first team or second team Pro Bowl,
deserving it.
Yeah, there's no chance of it.
Fourth on the list, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. Number three, power ranking of the power rankings. TheAthletic.com. Seth, they've got the Texans holding steady at 13 right now. The category that they have, some of these power rankings have a different category they do each week for each team, like a paragraph on it, a blurb. MVP. The MVP of the Texans, and I can get with this selection, defensive end Daniil Hunter. Says quarterback C.J. Stroud gets graded on a tougher curve this year because of how good he was last season. That's what allows Hunter to earn this spot. The ninth year defensive end had 1.5 sacks against Miami. He's second in the league with 12 for the season. This is me adding this. I feel like 9 of those 12 have come in the last month. He's really come on strong of late. Since 2022, he's second in the league with 39 sacks, and Houston probably is pretty happy with its decision to give him 2 years, $49 million in free agency this past offseason. I know I'm happy about it. I'm glad Daniil Hunter is on this team. Look, C.J. Stroud's the most indispensable player on this team because of the position that he plays. If you're going into the playoffs with Davis Mills as your quarterback, you're not planning for a whole lot of long-term stuff. No disrespect to Davis Mills. But by the definition of how you do an MVP selection, because C.J.'s not been great this year, Daniil Hunter's been great this year.
Yeah, he's been very, very great and very, very consistent.
Available.
You know, and Jonathan Greenard went off last night yet again. Jonathan Greenard's having a great year. I love the veteran presence of Daniil Hunter, and especially when you pair him with a guy that can be a tutor to Will Anderson. I think for the individual performance, yes, it's been good. Could you have gotten the same out of Jonathan Greenard? Maybe, but it's not like now if Daniil Hunter weren't having this kind of season and John Greenard was going off.
Boy, that would be a debate.
Would be a big one, right? So thank you, Daniil Hunter, that I don't have to talk about that routinely.
Yep.
The other interesting dynamic of that is that TJ Watt's the favorite for defensive MVP. Yeah. Remember, JJ Watt was a guy who even last year during the regular season had always said Daniil Hunter doesn't get the credit he deserves. Yeah. Daniil Hunter doesn't. He gets ignored because he was off playing in Minnesota in the Great White North. And now I feel like Daniil Hunter is still, he's what, fifth or sixth on the defensive player
sixth
of the year?
Sixth on the odds.
Or despite being second in the league in sacks. TJ statistically is beating him in a lot of areas. But also sacks, TJ's got 11.5 sacks. Daniil Hunter's got 12 sacks. I think at least part of it with TJ is that he's on a their defense has been more impressive than the Texans' defense overall.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. But, you know, JJ, we should press JJ on this.
We should.
Like, JJ, wait, hey, I thought you said that Daniil deserved all these accolades.
I think he's in town, JJ. He Instagram storied a picture of a, you know, first person point of view looking out of an airplane window down at Houston with the H-Town sign emoji there.
So he's either in Houston or he told the pilot to buzz the city on his way to Miami or something.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Let me know when we're above.
That was a pretty low altitude, though.
It was. Wasn't it? Yeah. You can literally see. You can read Toyota on top of the
Toyota.
Can you
tell whether from the wing, whether it's a private jet or an airliner?
I can tell from following JJ on social media that it's definitely a private jet.
Maybe he's at the point now, though, where his private jet is an airliner. Like a 747 or something.
Still making a lot of bank, I would assume, right?
Remember when I predicted that he would be a billionaire someday?
Yes.
And people scoffed at me.
How are you feeling about that?
I don't know. Right, I'm going to check in on this.
This is where you got to dig into his investments and stuff. Because you're not going to get to be a billionaire by speaking for Old El Paso Taco. And
the big question is whether he took, in lieu of payment, he took stock.
Oh.
Like Jordan did with Nike back in the day.
Yeah.
So if he did that with a few of his companies,
people will not stop eating tacos. That's for sure.
If he thought, oh, this Ford truck company seems like they might turn into something.
You got a little something.
Would you guys
going.
Mind giving me 25% of your company?
You got a little something.
And they're
something.
Like, well, maybe not 25%, JJ, but yeah.
You send him a YouTube of the history of Ford. Like, yeah. Maybe you should educate yourself. Okay, so number three on the list is The Athletic. Holding steady at 13. Power ranking of the power rankings. Number two, Connor Orr, SI.com, has the Texans 12th, up three big notches from 15. So this late in the season, it's hard to have big swings and stuff like this. 15 to 12 is a pretty nice jump there, considering you're jumping over teams that jumped over the Broncos, who won big over the Colts last week, things like that. Here's what Connor Orr says about the Texans. Going back through and watching all of Derek Stingley's snaps against Tyreek Hill, one can't help but believe this is a kind of baton passing moment. I remember feeling this way while watching Darrell Revis and Calvin Johnson during the 2010 season, and while I'm sure Hill will be a useful player for years to come, this was the kind of game that we use as a foundational example of why Stingley will finish the season as a top 10 player at the position and begin to rise into the top five. I think he's already there. I can't profess to watch cornerback film, all 22 of every team, but I have a hard time believing that there are more than three or four cornerbacks having a better year than Derek Stingley.
Well, and I think the thing is that, you know, he hasn't, he does not get targeted a lot. And then in a game where all of a sudden he does get targeted a lot, the most he has all season, he comes up with two picks. Because most really good cornerbacks don't typically get a boatload of interceptions. The difference with Stingley is that his ball skills are so much better than almost every other defensive back from the past.
His ball skills are better
decades.
Than most receivers.
Right. I mean, his ability to track the ball, yeah. his understanding and awareness of what routes are coming,
right.
Him just kind of running the route for Tyreek Hill there on that final play, that he's able to come up with a lot of interceptions that other people just might not get. He's got 11. Does he have 11 total in his career now?
I think 11 total picks.
Sauce Gardner has three. He went into last week with two, but he
got one right at the end of the game last past week. It's not the end all and be all, you know, but it's a fairly big measurement.
Yeah.
So Stingley doing really, really well. Number one, power ranking of the power ranking. Sean, you have way too many browsers open right now. Here we go. ESPN. Good job, DJ Bien-Aimé and ESPN. They have the Texans, Seth, ninth, back in the top 10 in at least one outlet, and it is ESPN.com. And the category for ESPN.com this week is the biggest improvement that the team has made, I guess, year over year, or maybe during the season here, the way this reads. And the biggest improvement they made is in forcing interceptions. The Texans had three interceptions through the first 5 weeks, which was middle of the pack. They now lead the NFL with 16 since week six. They caught eight interceptions combined against Tua Tagovailoa and Jared Goff, who both had only four interceptions entering their matchup against Houston. The Texans have 19 interceptions on the season, second only to the Minnesota Vikings with 20.
Yeah. And the Vikings, you know, they can still dial it up. It's a little bit, there was a little bit of a lull there for a while where it felt like, okay, teams are catching on to what Brian Flores is doing, but they don't have the same ambush effect, but they're just executing really, they're playing really good defense. I think the takeaways are awesome, and it's more of what you're expecting to see. Last year, they were showing signs of it, but they weren't as opportunistic as you'd want them to be. This year, they wreak havoc. They create all kinds of mayhem, and they end up, even if they're allowing, you know, we've seen times where offense is driving, and then boom, there you go. Drive over with an interception or a forced fumble. The big thing is that you can win lots of games playing that way, but to make it all the way through the playoffs going against really good quarterbacks, at some point the offense has to show up.
Yes.
Like at some point, you can't rely on forcing three or four turnovers every single week in a single elimination tournament. That's where I get nervous about what their ceiling is in the postseason.
Yeah,
I'd love to say ride this defense, but they're not good enough in the red zone. And they still allow too many chunk plays for me to feel like turnovers can be the main difference on a long run.
Yeah, that's a fair concern. We'll go over the scenarios for the Texans in the next segment. They're sitting at the 4 seed right now. What are the chances they can improve their lot in the playoff life here? Robert Hensley sends me notes after the games that he accumulates during the game. Robert's up in the booth with Mark and Andre for every game, you know, tracking stats and things like that. Along those lines with Tua, I mean, this goes to show the Texans, they're not just turning over scrub quarterbacks. They're turning over quarterbacks who have been ultra, ultra careful with the football this year. Jared Goff, as DJ points out there, and he points out Tua, the first interception that Tua threw to Kalen Bullock was the first interception he's thrown in 205 attempts.
Yeah.
You know, he came into the game on Sunday with 185 straight passes without an interception. To contextualize that a little bit, remember how gaga we were over C.J. Stroud going the first however many attempts to start his career without a pick? That number was 192 attempts. So Tua was on that kind of heater when it came to protecting the football, and the Texans got him three times in the last two quarters and change.
And I think the one difference about this Texans defense compared to last year as you approach the playoffs is that they're much more advanced and better at disguising their coverages. They can do things just a little bit exotically in a way that they weren't able to do last year, and they're doing it without making the mental errors. The big takeaway from that game versus the Dolphins for me was, okay, they were able to do some of that stuff, rotating the coverages, but Kalen Bullock still played a clean game in terms of technique, mental errors, all of that stuff. He looked a lot more like a veteran safety. That's a really, really good development, which, you know, and Kalen, all, like, so much credit to him for being a guy that was, I think a lot of people's minds almost brushed aside as a project. Man, he's really come along.
He has, man. That's been great to see, no doubt. All right, Payne and Pendergast, they're your power rankings of the power rankings. Generally speaking, the Texans moving up a little bit this week, but they've got a real chance to impress people, chance to impress voters over the next two games, Chiefs and the Ravens. All right, up next, speaking of the Chiefs, the Ravens, a couple teams hovering around the Texans in the playoff standings right now. What are the chances that the Texans can improve their lot in life, and how should that affect the way they handle these last three games? What do you want to see in terms of how the Texans handle their roster in these last few games? We'll get into that coming up.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, D'Amico Ryans, what do you think about your chances of improving your seeding in the playoffs? You're guaranteed to be, at worst, the 4 seed in the AFC home game in the first round of the playoffs. But what about moving up the ladder?
Yeah, for us, we still take it one week at a time. Even though we've clinched the AFC South, it still doesn't change our approach. When we line up and play, we're still trying to improve as a football team in all areas and try to play our best ball you know, when playoffs time hit. So we're trying to still improve, still do our best.
Okay, so the Texans right now, just to cut to the chase on some of the numbers here, as far as moving up goes, in the moving up from the four seed, they have no chance, literally no chance of getting to the one seed. They don't have enough games left. Even though they play the Chiefs this Saturday, the current number one seed, they're ahead of the Texans by four games. There's only three games left. The number two seed, which is currently Buffalo, they've got less than a 1% chance of catching the Bills. They're two games back of the Bills with the head-to-head, but that's mostly because the Bills don't play anybody the rest of the year. They play three bad teams the rest of the year. I don't have it in front of me, but they play three like non-playoff teams the rest of the
year.
Teams that are angling for quarterbacks.
If Josh Allen gets an ankle sprain or something, they decide, all right, look, we just got to be super, super careful. Maybe something will happen there, but unless something like that happens, almost impossible.
Okay. Less than a 1% chance, according to the computers, they get to the two seed. The three seed is interesting. They have a 22% chance of getting to the three seed. Currently, that's Pittsburgh. And they're a game back of Pittsburgh. Obviously, they haven't played, and they're not going to play the Steelers. So there will be no head-to-head between the Texans and the Steelers. The combination, though, I guess, the Texans, if they were to move up one spot, would be for the Texans to win two out of the last three games, with one of them being Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then Baltimore beating Pittsburgh when they play later on. I think they play this week, actually. Baltimore and the Steelers play this week, because then they're part of that whole Saturday-Wednesday double dip. They play right after the Texans play on Saturday this week. There is a 22% chance, as of right now, Seth, of moving up one spot to the three seed. I guess my question would be, what's the big benefit of moving up from four to three?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't guarantee you a home game in the second round like the two seed would.
Right.
You know, chances are you're going to be – you go to the three seed, you're probably headed off to Buffalo. You stay at the four seed, you're probably headed up to Kansas City.
But except unless they're shuffling around or something. So it does –
I'm saying if it holds right now.
If it holds. But if there is a chance that you end up with a home game versus the Chargers or Pittsburgh or
if they're able to pull off an upset in the wild card round.
So that's the biggest part for me there, but I'm not fixated on it. I think I'm much more intrigued by the likelihood of playing either the Ravens or the Steelers, depending on who wins the AFC North, and
playing them at home in the wild card
round. Playing them at home in the wild card round. And I, you know, yesterday I asked people whether they would prefer to see the Ravens or the Steelers at home. The vast majority of people said the Steelers for that wild card round. There were a few people that said, well, look, I'd rather, if the goal is to win a Super Bowl, I'd rather play the Ravens at home where I'm going to have the best shot at it. So specifically because I think the Texans are a better matchup against the Steelers than against the Ravens. Yeah. If I want to win multiple playoff games, then give me the toughest challenge at home where the defense can be its best version of itself.
And they've been the best version of themselves all year at home. They haven't played a bad defensive game at home yet.
Look, I can see the offense struggling versus the Ravens defense or the Steelers defense. Yeah. I can see them struggling at home or on the road. So what's my best chance? But I also think, look, I think this Texans defense can make Russell Wilson look really bad on the road in Pittsburgh. I don't trust that they can make Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry look awful in Baltimore.
I totally agree with that. Part of it, when I look at these next couple games, Chiefs on Saturday in Kansas City, Ravens here on Christmas Day, because I struggle with how you handle the roster. Like, is a 20% chance of moving up from four to three, you know, if that holds, say, into the Christmas Day game, where now you're talking about 4 days rest against, a team that's, you know, not a great defense, but they're a physical team. In Baltimore, is a 20% chance of moving up from four to three worth trotting all your guys out there on four days rest when you've got some injury issues? I do struggle with that. However, there's a big part of me that just says, screw the percentages, screw the seedings. I need to know how this team, the Texans, stack up against the Chiefs and the Ravens.
This is the thing. If we were the Chiefs, maybe having put the Chiefs in the Texans situation, I'd be way more open to conversations about whether or not you should rest starters or anything, because they've got guys on that team with boatloads of NFL playoff experience, and you can trust them to a certain degree. I don't I don't think that this Texans team has earned our trust there yet.
I agree.
And I think for themselves, too.
Yeah.
Offensively, they've got to get right. Like, they need to continue to figure out everything they can do versus good defense to be better when they hit the playoffs. And I sat there and I watched them rest all these offensive starters in the preseason because, hey, we're pros. Yeah. They sucked. They suck. Yeah. No, they need work.
Yeah.
They need work.
Yeah. No, they do. And I like your point about, you know, just the players themselves. Like, when I think of the Chiefs and the Ravens game, the reason why I'm starting to feel more strongly, like, I don't care about any of this computer stuff and the seedings, just go play, is I think they probably need some confidence, you know, offensively going into the playoffs. There's no downside other than the health part. Like, just purely from a football standpoint, independent of health, there's zero downside to these games offensively. Like, if you come out of both of those games having played shoddy offense, you're the same spot you were at walking off the field against Miami. There's only upside here.
Yeah, the only thing, unless you're trying to protect them from... unless you want it to be a surprise that they're awful against the Ravens offensively in the playoffs. Just go and let them know what the reality of the situation is.
No, that's true.
You either can have a confidence boost and you can figure some things out, or you can, really maybe drive the point home that, like, hey, you guys remember that last year up in Baltimore, what it was like after that playoff game? You're headed straight towards it if you don't fix some of this stuff.
Absolutely. Texter says the Bills play the Jets, the Pats, and then the Jets again.
Mm.
Okay.
Jets are on a little bit of a tear. Overtime loss to the Dolphins, and they win this week.
Well, Aaron Rodgers did throw for a bunch of yards in that Dolphins game, too. Like, he was actually...
I was thinking about this watching Kirk Cousins.
Which makes CJ throwing for $130 feel, like, really great against the same defense.
Watching Kirk Cousins muddle his way through the game of football last night, I think this might be it for teams convincing themselves that a quarterback in his late 30s or 40s coming off Achilles tendon tears can just jump right back into the mix.
Yeah.
I don't know where I feel like people act like because Achilles tendons aren't as devastating as they used to be. I think sometimes teams themselves as well, not just fans, I think they've jumped the gun a little bit on how hard an injury it is to come back from, especially if you're Cousins is 36 and Rodgers is now 41, right?
Yeah. Cousins was drafted in 2012. So yeah, like mid late 30s. Falcons were 6-3 to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're 7-7 now. Cousins hasn't been good, man. Do you unleash Michael Penix Jr.? I don't want to get off on a Falcons tangent. A lot of people weighing in. It's like the Rockets talking about the Ravens. And the Chiefs, it's like the Rockets with Golden State all over again. Texans have to prove they can get past the Ravens and the Chiefs to compete for a Super Bowl. Yeah, in some ways, look, you will get clarity on where you are as a team over these next 7 days. God, that is crazy, man.
Like,
the Ravens game is a week from tomorrow. And in between that, they play the Chiefs. Like, what a wild schedule, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man.
No, it'll be fun for us.
What's today? Tuesday? Okay, so we got just over the next 8 days.
Yeah
this is going to be a lot of, well, 9 days. This will be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, man. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The NBA Cup. I thought you said something about the NBA.
The texter was comparing the Texans to the Rockets from a few years ago, where you got to get through Golden State eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
They got to get through the Ravens and the Chiefs
eventually. Yeah, and there's no part of, like, the gamesmanship of it or, oh, you don't want to tip your hand. None of that appeals right now.
Yeah.
I want to see them beat good football teams. And they've got two opportunities over the next 9 days to do that.
Yeah.
The Bucks play the Thunder tonight. So
in the finals of the NBA Cup. Yeah.
I knew it and then I forgot it. It was the fact that this game doesn't matter at all for any of the standings or anything else like that. I wish they would. I don't know. I know it doesn't. It makes sense that it wouldn't count,
right. But
it just seems weird that it can't even be used as a tiebreaker or anything in some regard.
Oh yeah,
it's a nice payday. There's a financial reward for the players,
yes.
But I feel like if you want total buy-in from the fans, at the very least, make it some kind of a. Maybe you get a little almost like a wild card, like, oh no, we actually get home court advantage because we're the NBA Cup. Yeah, even if you're a lower seed, we are the NBA Cup champions, so we get the home seed in this playoff series.
Yeah, have something attached to it. I can get with that. Someone said, okay, fair. You forgot about the Titans game. They were bad defensively in that game. They gave up two monster plays in that
which is
game,
part of the which is part it's of one of the things that's keeping them from being that's genuinely fair. Elite as
they were
a defense.
Bad defensively. They gave up 278 yards passing to Will Levis. Granted, like 70% of that came on four completions.
They pulled a Texans offense trick, which is they were really good in the first half and then they fell apart in the second half.
That's right. Yeah, I'll take the hickey on that one. They were bad defensively in that game against the Titans. All right, up next, close out the show. Final segment coming up. The Athletic has its QB stock report out, and they ask a very interesting question. The very, very tippy top of the article here. They rank all 32 starting quarterbacks, but the big headline, why hasn't C.J. Stroud played like the phenom he was as a rookie? Do the Texans feel like he's not been playing like the phenom he was as a rookie? We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on that and a whole lot more coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, congrats to Brandon in Houston, winner of the Texans-Ravens tickets for Christmas Day. Ben, it wasn't Brandon Scott, was it, calling in?
No.
It was a different Brandon? Okay. B. Scott, I think, knows he's not eligible.
Brandon Ayuk.
He's free.
Yeah.
I mean, he's injured. He's a 49er, but he's, if he wants to hang out here on Christmas, by all means. It's a Beyonce concert, man. I'm anxious to see. Those tickets are in demand.
I'd love to see if we see a player from either team try to sneak out at halftime to watch Beyonce. Yeah.
106 players. I guarantee you one of them at least tries to sneak a peek. The easiest ones to do that would be like John Weeks, Kymie Fairbairn, and Tommy Townsend.
Yeah. Because
those guys come back out early anyways to warm up.
Yeah.
If you're one of the specialists, you got a chance to see probably at least like half of the Beyonce performance.
Oh yeah, probably.
The last 6 or 7 minutes.
What if Tommy Townsend actually punts a football into Beyonce?
Hits a ball
herself,
in the middle of the stage.
Hits her Beyonce. In the face. Yeah. Don't do that, Tommy Townsend.
No.
I'm glad it's not the Chiefs. If it were the Chiefs, because then we'd have the dual issue of Beyonce fans and then Taylor Swift potentially being in attendance.
Might have them both. Yeah, in the building.
It might end up being the most annoying football game in the history of football, just because of all the both the coverage of non-football people, but then people angry about the coverage of the non-football people and everything else. I'm glad for that. Thank you, Santa Claus.
I'm admittedly not up to speed on all the music world beef.
I don't think they have a feud.
They're okay
at all
with each other.
Oh wait, no, wait. It was Beyonce, right? That Diddy was defending when Taylor Swift won that musical award. When Diddy got up and said,
"Yeah." Was it Diddy or Kanye?
Was it Kanye? Kanye got up. Sorry, I didn't mean to link Diddy yet again to anything involving it. But it was Kanye got up and was saying that Beyonce should have won it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't think Beyonce and Taylor Swift ever got into it.
Did Beyonce sanction the hit from Kanye?
No, I don't think. No. I remember looking at Jay-Z and Beyonce and thinking, like, they look really uncomfortable right now.
Right.
It looked like Jay-Z is like, bro, no, like, he would have made the cutting it off.
The opposite of sanctioning the hit.
Yeah,
like,
it's just not a drama you want to be. You know when somebody sticks up for you when you don't need to be stuck up for,
right,
and you're kind of like, I just wish you would shut your mouth.
Yeah, especially when it's somebody you're like, it'd be cool if that guy stuck up for me, even though I don't need it. But when it's you, I don't need your seal of approval.
Yeah, people in the music world knew how weird Kanye was long before the public at large knew how, how weird Kanye
That's
was.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Probably most of the people in attendance were like, oh, here we go with Kanye again.
Yep.
It's ruining another cocktail party. All right, great.
I was looking forward to that, too. Here was D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show yesterday. Always a good conversation with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer and the head coach of the Texans. Asked him about trusting C.J. Stroud in the broken play kind of moments, the improv moments, which both of the touchdowns to Nico Collins were in the Miami Dolphins game.
We got to trust him there.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I always tell CJ, is that he has my complete trust.
Yeah.
Right. Trust what he's seeing and how he's operating. Like, trust that he's going to make great decisions with the football. And when the opportunity is there to make a play, go make plays. Like, that's why he's in the spot he's in, because he's made plays in those moments before. And, he's continuing it. Like, I saw the same thing. You see how fresh he was.
Yeah.
I just feel his energy, his mentality on the sideline. He was in a really good spot, you know, mentally. And I think he'll continue to play better. As we go down the stretch, here is what we need. We need him to be playing his best football come playoff time. He has a couple weeks here to continue to improve that.
It's interesting, you know, and I think they're right to trust CJ. I think CJ's by and large a very good decision maker. I think he's really underrated when it comes to the improvisation stuff and just using his legs. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not viewed as a high level athlete, but he can move around back there and maneuver really, really nice. And yet the headline on the QB stock report for this week, week 16 on The Athletic, Jeff Howe. Why hasn't CJ Stroud played like the phenom he was as a rookie?
It's a very, very fair question.
I agree. Yes. I agree. Where do you think he's ranked on the QB stock report by Jeff Howe?
Oh, by probably
among the 32 starting quarterbacks.
I would guess like 15th or 16th.
He's 11th now, actually. Okay. Yeah, he's 11th. The high for him this year has been at 3. I think that's where he might have opened the season at 3, especially after week 1. He was very good against the Colts in week 1. His season low has been where he is right now, 11. So Jeff Howe is, of The Athletic at least, is one of those guys that says, yeah, probably saying, yeah, the statistics have been down, but you can still see a lot of
that's
the good
where,
CJ.
Well, I was curious because, you know, I would probably put him right around, you know, 10 or so there too, with a lot of the understanding that there's a lot of variables at play, but just a lot of the more advanced, like the advanced QB stats that a lot of the writers rely on and everything have CJ right in the middle of the pack for a lot of stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, with CJ, it's hard to separate some of the decisions that I wish he would make differently from the fact that he's usually operating in a very imperfect environment. Now, the pass protection has improved at least over the last few, the sum total of it over the last several games is, I think they have made some improvements. There's still quick pressure up the middle way too often for my liking. And the other big part of it is that they're so bad at running the ball on first and second down that it makes it a lot harder to pass the ball for two reasons. One, because you end up in second and long or third and long, but also because teams aren't worried about the run. So it's a lot harder to pass and get the easy yardage on first and second down because they don't give a single damn about the run. They know if they have guys in their front seven who are physically tough, it's over. It's over. They can't, this offensive line cannot beat guys physically. They have to position and wheel around and try to get in front of them. And hey, maybe we'll catch them off guard with a tight end and that'll create a spot. But if they got actual like football playing Jessies on the defensive side of the ball, this offensive line is getting tossed around like they're ragdolls. They're not good at that part of the game.
Well, the next three games, Chris Jones, Justin Madubuike, Jeffrey Simmons.
Right.
And Tavondre Sweat, who doubled as a running back at one point this weekend.
They got Tavondre Sweat again, yeah.
Were you proud of him as a former defensive lineman, the way he was shucking and jiving and juking
impressive.
Out there?
Yeah. No, you know what?
I haven't seen it. Go find
it. I'm proud of him for being a guy he's playing way more reps than I thought he would, because when he was at Texas, it was, man, he's hell on wheels when he can breathe. But he's a big guy, he's
big key to be able to breathe.
He's been in way more than I thought he would. I thought he'd be kind of like a rotational player. So kudos to him for that. I mean, he's probably a smart draft pick for the Titans. If you look at the way the league is kind of transitioning back into the run game mattering more.
Yeah. Some big bodies in there.
Like he reminds me a lot of like a tiny Ted Washington, but he's super athletic for his size, but you're going to lose some in terms of endurance and sideline to sideline and chase ability and everything. But if teams are trying to run up the middle and he's there, it's really, really hard to do it.
Go find the video of him scooping that fumble up this week. It was fun.
It was like one of those rugby videos that'll surface when there's like some 300-pound 15-year-old that's playing high school rugby and just trucking everybody.
Yes.
That's actually what Leatu Leitu's high school rugby videos look like. Because he was like a 250-pound high school senior who was the best athlete on the field, and people would just bounce off of him.
That's funny. For those wondering on this stock report with CJ, it's interesting. The name's right in front of him. Jaden Daniels, who is, he's basically having CJ's rookie year in a way. Like, he's been very good statistically, drafted second overall, has his team in the playoff hunt right now. They're not going to be the division winners like CJ was last year because the Eagles are kind of starting to boat race teams in the NFC East a little bit. They're 12-2. The Commanders are 9-5. But Jaden Daniels has a good year. Brock Purdy's ninth on this list right now.
Mm-hmm.
QB power rankings.
Oh, by the way, I sent you that article. It says that San Francisco's all in on paying Brock Purdy.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. That's your victory lap.
I guess. It does. It feels like a hollow victory. I feel like I'm trying to explain to you the recent history of the NFL. There's what should happen and what will happen.
Right.
Brock Purdy hasn't played enough like he should get that contract.
Sure.
But neither did Trevor Lawrence or Tua Tagovailoa or any of those other guys.
No, they get
the contract.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm not the only one debating it either. There's a lot of people on my side.
You guys
of
are
this.
All crazy.
Right.
I feel like you're just ignoring. You know what you remind me of? You remind me of Andrew Brandt, who refuses to believe that
the
NFL has changed.
Words, man.
Because Andrew Brandt will always say, like, well, this guy will never get – Antonio Brown will never get traded. The Steelers have to eat too much money to do it. Oh, they'll never trade Matt Ryan. They have to eat too much money. Hey, man, times have changed.
Do you think Purdy gets the contract this offseason? After year three.
Yeah, I thought that was the tone of the article that I had read.
I didn't read the articles on Apple News.
Oh.
I don't subscribe to Apple
News. Oh, you
News.
Don't?
Yeah.
Sorry. I can loan you money if this is an issue. Okay.
I'll go find my subscriptions you don't subscribe to.
Yeah. That stuff adds up so much.
I know.
You see one good article you want to read, and you're like, sure. I'll totally remember to cancel this.
No, dude, it's. I finally looked at my credit card statement that I send. I thought I was being so smart. Yeah. Sending all my subscriptions to the same credit card, right? Mm-hmm. This will help me keep control of this cost. And then what do? I just don't look at it, right?
Right, you just pay
it. I look at the total, and I'm like, okay, here, I pay it. I made not a mistake, probably smart, of my looking at my statement, like itemized. I'm like, wow, I'm paying Apple a lot of money for a lot of things, and I'm not really sure what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably paying for like 6 different levels of storage on iClouds and things like that.
That's right.
You know,
but then there's Paramount Plus and Hulu and everything else. I just,
But I need some of those, you know?
I know. Do I need Paramount Plus?
Yes.
I use it to watch the Texans when I'm in the press box, like when I want to watch the TV.
Is that the
copy.
Only time you ever
That's
use it?
That's it. That's the only time I ever use it.
You can probably cancel it in the off season, you know?
I could probably cancel it today and get a free trial and everything. Sean, I've got limited administrative ability,
That's
okay?
True. Well, no.
My executive function is not high.
It's the key is how many email addresses do you have? Like, it's, you know, that's the key, you know? Because then
I have publicly or that I, oh, okay.
Just ones that'll get you a free trial of stuff. That's all.
Okay.
John Lopez, Reggie Atatula are here. Do you guys have a subscription problem at all? Like Seth and I seemingly do?
Yes and no.
Okay.
There's clearly a lot of subscriptions that you have to have in this day and age.
Yeah.
But I also rage against the machine and trying to like work around as much as I possibly can. And I'm making them earn the subscription from me, right? Which is, if this becomes so much of a need or so much of a hassle to work around, eventually I will pay it. But yeah, I was also thinking how we have got such a subscription problem, rather, in our society, where there's another subscription now that will manage your subscriptions
and
help you like get those down. So
cancel
maybe you should go for that.
Sure. And I'm sure I'll never cancel that one
that's
either.
Right.
That'll be, it's inception is what it is. Seth actually has a really good tactic for not subscribing to things that you can rationalize subscribing to, which is you just take whatever the monthly is and multiply it times 12.
Right, or 10 if I'm not feeling like doing the extra work.
Right,
you multiply it by 10.
Like, okay.
And especially for daily stuff, you go ahead and multiply something by 300. Like if you're paying for a pricey coffee every morning, you multiply that by 300 and you're like, oh, wow. Yeah,
that's a lot to Monday.
Yeah.
What about you, Lopez?
We were just talking about this.
He literally just got a subscription off of his chest
literally
10 minutes ago.
As we're walking in, I just got another subscription.
You subscribed to something or you
canceled
something?
Well, yeah, kind of.
No, you didn't subscribe to something. He got a workaround that's allowing him to get off of a subscription.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's nothing that's going to get you in trouble with the feds or anything.
It might.
Possibly.
It might.
Well, do tell.
Being a little dangerous on a Tuesday. You know?
Yeah, big time.
I was just talking about how I have a subscription. I'm not going to mention the company because they may or may not have.
Reader's Digest?
For one thing, I subscribe to an entire app. Never subscribe to Reader's Digest for one thing, for Rockets and Texans.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
it drives me nuts.
But that's how they get you,
yeah.
Right? Like every one of these subscription sites or what have you, they're like, we're going to get you with something. Like, it's one of the reasons why, like, Netflix or whatever pays a whole bunch of money for one of these properties. Peacock with The Office. They're like, if we can get you for one thing, we can get that $10 or eventually $17 or what have you out of a month.
They are not going up with the rate of inflation. No. They're vastly exceeding.
Okay, so explain this to me like I'm somebody that totally doesn't know this. What's, okay, Max?
HBO Max?
Did HBO and Cinemax merge?
No, that is Warner Brothers Discovery absolutely poo-pooing on what was already a good strong brand. HBO, they had their streaming service, and then they merged it with Discovery.
But why does the logo look like Cinemax's logo?
It does. No, it
because they're idiots. That's why. They were like, everybody knows HBO, right?
Yeah. Here's the answer.
What is Max? Who cares? Cinemax, we're calling it
or
that.
Whatever, yeah.
No, okay. Cinemax is completely uninvolved somehow.
Cinemax
still.
Is still Cinemax.
It's still somewhere else out there in the ether.
Is that still where I need to go at 1 a.m. on a Friday?
Boy, back in the day.
Some softcore, whatever.
We have squinting. Internet. What are you doing?
Do you guys have one subscription that you're like, oh, they could triple the price of this and I'm still
Hulu.
Paying it? Hulu would be yours? Yeah.
Great shows, like TV shows.
Hulu's good.
Hulu, plus they got like the Family Guy and Simpsons. Yeah.
Well, just all the new ones. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Apple TV.
Apple TV is very good. I don't subscribe to Apple News. I do subscribe to Apple TV. They've got good stuff on there.
It's the music streaming. I use Tidal. I'm a little bit of an audiophile, which means I'm insufferable. And so,
I'm switching over to YouTube Music. Because as far as I know, they don't. Because I do YouTube Premium, and I don't think I have to pay extra for YouTube Music unless I'm on some free trial that I don't know about.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Because plus you can toggle over to the video. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Mine, Netflix would be mine. And The Athletic. I think The Athletic
is good.
Well worth
it. It is very good.
For what we do, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well worth the money.
Well, yeah, I completely forgot about all those ones.
The written word?
Yeah. Those ones
SI.com, $8.99 a month.
I'm getting anxiety just having to think about all the places that I send my money for these things. I'm like, I don't want to think about it because I have to have it, so whatever. It doesn't matter.
Send it all to one credit card and then read the statement. That'll give you anxiety.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's what I do. Yeah. I was doing it as a solution. It's actually become
a problem.
Something that's causing me some agita. Yeah.
Cinemax is owned by Warner Brothers Discovery, so I was wrong.
I've just got a vision of my future standing in front of the bankruptcy judge arguing why I need to keep my Athletic subscription or my
job.
Max,
it's part of your job.
That would be, but like Cinemax or whatever.
That'd be tougher. That'd be a whole different deal. That would be tougher. We need to talk about softcore porn more on the show, and then we can keep our Cinemax.
Is that just gonna? Can we pencil that in for Tuesday?
Yes. Sure. Yes, it's kind of a dead day. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, have a great show.
Yes, sir.
Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and
you can do
Emmanuel in space to you.
Okay.
Oh wow.
There you go.
Oh wow.
All right.
Wait. Do you have a catalog up there? What's happening?
That was a big one back when I was a teenager. It was Emmanuel in space. It was all the hijinks of Emmanuel who would travel from galaxy to galaxy. And eventually after 55 minutes, you'd get a 90-second payoff of two people grinding on each other. That was pretty much it. Yeah.
That stinks.
Marilyn Chambers for the win.
Okay.
All right.
Is that who started?
Marilyn Chambers?
Yeah. Why does that sound like that wasn't even a talkie?
Oh, it was. There were big segments that were not talkies.
No. They were not. The acting was not great. All right. You're listening.
I used to go down to the Nickelodeon in Galveston
with my Reader's Digest.
Hey, yo.